Just as a matter of interest, when we were in India earlier this year, on the Sunday, Karen, Angie and myself with Pastor Water and his family and some believers, we went right up into a hill. The previous day we went down in the valley, and that's where dear Karen met with her fall. But the next day we went right up as high as you could get. We had a wonderful, wonderful time with some new believers, and a church building was being constructed by Pastor Williams. Well, the dedication service was last Saturday and the building is constructed. We were invited to go, but we couldn't make it. But they had a great time, apparently. The building is now fully functioning where we met. So that's wonderful. So we praise God. The truth and nothing but the truth. I remember when I was a young man, I was no more than 22, because it was certain before I married, having to go to Mason Crown Court as a juror. And I was voted in as a, you know, whatever you do, and having to hold the Bible and saying, you know, I declare, you know, that what I say is the truth and nothing but the truth, and would that we would be known for people of truth. As Christians, we should always speak the truth, shouldn't we? We should be truthful people. We should be reliable people. We should be loyal people. After all, if we have the Holy Spirit, if Jesus is within us, he was the truth. He was the truth. We should always speak truth. And when we exaggerate or say a porky, we should be quick to say sorry and put it right. The truth and nothing but the truth. Will you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, is page 999 in the Church Bible. And there's two verses here, verses 16 and 17. This is the Apostle Paul as inspired by God. It's in the Bible, so we're pleased about this. Verse 16, "But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For I am not ashamed of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Just go a little further along to 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, page 1024. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Have I got the page right? No, I haven't even given you the page yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is page 1013. Verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul is saying, "I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. But Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are being called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But we preach Christ crucified. It's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. One final reading, Luke, we'll go back into the new to the Gospels and chapter Luke. Luke chapter 14. So we've read that it's the gospel that Paul was not ashamed of, the gospel that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He had to go to the cross so that we could be forgiven. The just for the unjust, the righteous man for the unrighteous. It seems such a foolish, silly thing to do, but it was the only way we could be redeemed. It is through the shed blood of Jesus that we are cleansed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Such a silly, and it's so, in a sense, to believe it is, well, a child can believe it. And we have to become like children to believe in this simple, very practical gospel. There is salvation in none other but Jesus Christ. So we've taught, it's powerful. The Holy Spirit accompanies the preaching of the gospel. He draws us to believe on this gospel. It's amazing. And it's for everyone. So, but there is a cost to believing it. It's good news, but there's also a cost. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. Now great multitudes went with Jesus. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has had enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He has ears to hear, let him hear the gospel. One of the great preachers of a couple of centuries back was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was known as the Prince of Preachers. He was at the Metropolitan Tabernacle at the Elephant and Castle. That particular building is still in existence. The present minister is Peter Masters, who's you can see on UCB channel 767 on your Sky network. And but Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great gospel preacher. Many came under the power of the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and found Jesus under his preaching. And one day, in fact, he said this on more than one occasion, because I picked it up in at least two of his sermons. He said, the gospel is like a caged lion. Then he says, it does not need to be defended, just let it out of the cage. I wonder, have we caged the good news? Have we caged the gospel? Kept it within this building, or kept it as a private thing? It's a contradiction, really, isn't it? If we're saying that we believed in the gospel of Jesus, it's good news, we know we've been forgiven, that we're now part of a family of God, we've been adopted, and he's now our head, and we've got an eternal destiny to look forward to, and no one else knows. Well, it's frankly just doesn't make sense, because it's a powerful thing at work within us. One of our difficulties, or one of the things which For years, Christians and church has been, I guess, guilty of, is that we've divided the spiritual from the secular. So we said, well, this is what we do in church, this is my ministry, and then we've got Monday to Saturday, or Friday evening perhaps, or Wednesday evening, that's spiritual as well. But the New Testament and Jesus doesn't see it like that at all. You know, this is why, you know, we say Jesus is Lord, because he has to be Lord 7 days of the week. Everything belongs to Jesus. In the prayer meeting a little earlier, you know, this we said, this is the Lord's Day, and but every day is the Lord's Day. Obviously, when people come together, as we have today, there's the powerful meeting with Jesus corporately, which is wonderful. And I believe we experienced something of that this morning. So we must not be guilty of reducing Christianity to a matter of private, personal belief. We can't accept this sacred, secular split. The Bible has nothing, knows nothing about it. Knows nothing about it. We can't, if you like, relegate faith to the private areas of life, or relegate it with just going to church. All of life must be under the liberating lordship of Jesus Christ. All of life must come under the liberating lordship of Jesus Christ. What would this truth mean for family life, for singleness, for our business, for our studies at school, for our relationships with those who we hang out with? If we're truly under the lordship of Jesus, it's liberating. We've spoken about this is a powerful book. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Hey, it gets to the part we don't want it to. But it brings conviction so that we can then have faith in the Lord and trust him and be his children, be obedient disciples, have confidence in him. To have confidence in the gospel today, don't let us keep it caged up. Do we accept Christianity as total truth? Do we? We must have confidence in it. We were singing that great song, One Way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We can't get to God any other way but through Jesus. We mentioned at the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, I brought the cutting from the Telegraph on Monday, where they're going to be having a debate at the Anglican Church, at the Synod or somewhere later on, that Christians should no longer evangelise Muslims. After all, they have their way to God, we have our way to God. And if we're saying, well, you've got to be converted to Jesus and Christianity, we're saying, well, the way of Christ and Christianity is the better way. Well, Muslims are on the road to hell, as are any who are not believing in Jesus Christ. And if we love them enough, we won't want to cage our gospel up. And we're so thankful for men of God like the Bishop of Rochester, who's speaking out and saying, look, we can't have this gospel caged up. They need salvation. Our neighbours need salvation. Our school friends, college mates, people we work with, family members, they need to know that they're sinners going to hell, but God in his mercy stepped in. And so one of the things which we are seeking to do, and will very much with the help of God put our hearts and minds and intelligence, well, Alex and Mark and one or two others, too, is to equip us that we indeed are a church of impact. So that somebody at college or somebody within your family says, oh, well, it's right, isn't it? You know, we are all one, really. We all belong to the family of God, don't we? And God loves us all. And yeah, there's many ways to God. that we are able, each one of us, from the youngest from the children, that's why they're out there now, that's as parents we are given to instruct our children in the faith, so that they can discuss and articulate the faith, their own faith, but what is truth? Or else the devil is so clever and so subtle, he will get and deceive us into thinking, well, maybe God is also loving and so merciful that everyone will get saved in the end. Because that sounds nice, doesn't it? It's popular. That will, you know, get the people on our side if we say, but it's a lie. And so what we're seeking to do is able so that you know the truth experientially and know it as the sword, so that you can not debate it so much, but discuss it and believe that God will use your words when you use his word to bring conviction and salvation. Because God does love, it's not willing that any should perish. That's why we shouldn't get it caged up, this gospel caged up. But we need to be equipped to articulate this. We need to be aware of the devil's schemes, that he wants to keep people in bondage, but actually saying, well, yeah, you can know God, do it this way, or stay in your sin, stay in your religion. How many people are bound to religion but thinking that they know God? What separates, you know this, what separates Christianity from any other religion or system of man is a relationship. We know Jesus. I know him. He knows me. I commune with him. I talk, I fellowship with him because he's given his life for me, and he wants me to abide in him and to have eternal life now and forever. He's brought me into his family. It's a relationship. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Church of Scientology, Jehovah's Witness, these dear people, and they are dear people that are still in bondage, as I was for several years of my life. Don't let's kick our gospel caged up, but let us be firm in our conviction, because you're young people, and you're going to be more and more, as the days get darker and more evil, you're going to be confronted with this. Oh, well, you just think you're better than everybody else because you go to church or because you name Jesus. No, you're not better than anybody else. You just know you're forgiven. You know Jesus Christ, and you want to come under the lordship of Jesus. It affects your relationships. It affects with who you hang out with, where you go, what you believe. But because you care about your friends, you want them to come to the same knowledge of Jesus. You want them to experience the love of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, the peace of Jesus. If you don't care about them, then they can stay on in their dark ways. The gospel is powerful. The culture is on a slippery slope, isn't it? It is on a slippery slope. We know that. We've by and large lost our culture. Yeah. We have, and this is actually, we're told that it would happen in the Bible. We by and large lost our culture. We're on this slippery slope. So how do you and I respond? How do we respond? How do we respond as a church? How do we respond as individuals? Some will try to influence and change culture by engaging themselves in political activism. They will link up with protest movements and demonstrations. They may join political parties in an attempt to redeem society, to redeem the culture. And it is possible, by the grace of God, that small victories will be won. But the culture is still lost. What then should we do? What then can we do? I say again, are we still caging the gospel? What kind of people ought we to be? Surely, first of all, we need to be walking with Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, truly born again, full of the knowledge, the wisdom of Jesus Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit. We read in the Corinthians passage, you know, it's foolishness to many, but it's the power of God, and God uses foolish and weak people to display his power. Then we need to seek to influence and reform culture within our local spheres of influence. Because the gospel and what God is doing through you is powerful. We can influence our own spheres of influence, our own circle. We just read, hey, don't lose your saltiness. Don't have one foot in the world, one foot in Jesus and Christianity. It won't work. You'll be pulled in the wrong direction. Come out. We heard that last week. We need to be able to. So what are these influences? As I will bring this to conclusion. Well, firstly, family. 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 Some of you may well be the only born again spirit-filled person in your family, and that can be tough. That can be hard. But Christ is with you, and you've still got to put your trust in Jesus and allow Christ's life to be worked out through you. Loyalty within families. You know, there's not too much loyalty these days, is there? People, we were privileged. Carl, we was very privileged to be at a wedding on Friday. We went to a family wedding. It was a good wedding, and we heard the vows being made. And our prayers is that that couple will remain loyal and committed to each other. That's what they said, before man, before God. Now, when this fellowship appoints leaders, elders, one of the things which I certainly look for is that man devoted to his wife. Is he loyal to his wife? Does he put her down? If he does, then he's probably putting others down as well. He's loyal. They may not be perfect. They may get things wrong. I certainly do and have done so. But we're in an atmosphere of grace and acceptance. But if that man does not know how to respect his wife and love his wife as Christ loves this church, he cannot lead the church. But that applies to each and every one of us who are in relationships. Loyalty. Commitment. Stickability. As Christ loves you and loves his church. The option is to walk out. Christ's option is to let his grace be manifest and at work. Loyalty. You see, there's so much confusion, brothers, sisters, within even the professing church today about fruitfulness. Oh, I'm a fruitful leader, I'm a fruitful pastor because, hey, I've got this TV channel, I've got a church of 10,000, I've got the greatest worship group in the whole of the kingdom. This is, I'm fruitful. You tell me where it says in this word that that's true. I'm fruitful if I'm living the Jesus life in my family. If the fruit of the Spirit is in evidence. If the fruit of the Spirit is in evidence at college, at school, in the workplace. Being fruitful because I'm abiding in Jesus and the life of Jesus comes out. Others got to notice. For some, it's going to be a right old turn off. It will cost you. They will make fun of you. Some of you it may mean because you want to be under the liberating lordship of Jesus Christ and know nothing but the truth, Jesus, that you're going to have to give up on relationships, on friendships. Because you want to be separate. You want to please Jesus first and foremost. It's not your happiness which is important. It's being blessed by God and doing what he wants. It's walking in obedience that we're blessed. See, happiness is so temporal, isn't it? So temporal. It can be gone tomorrow, but those who abide in Jesus is permanent, doing his will. And one day we're going to be judged for the decisions we've made, for the choices we've made. Some of us have made wrong choices, and if even now we've made a wrong choice, seek God's help. He wants to help you to make that right choice. He's with you, and it's our better. It is so much better being fruitful for Jesus, being fruitful for Jesus in our leisure. He wants the best for us. You see, we read just now, didn't we, about there is a cost of following Jesus. It's great news, but hey, think about it. Do you really hate your sin enough to want to lay it behind? Do you really love Jesus enough that come winter, sunshine, hail or snow, I will keep loyal to Jesus because I've got his Holy Spirit. I'm not going to give up. I believe in the power of God. I'm going to make the decisions and choices which conform to this word and not to the culture of the age. Being light. Do we love the Lord enough? You see, take up your cross. Now, some people have said, and they mean it so, so well, and I love them for it. I really, really do. Some people said, because my wife Rachel was taken away, that, I've had to take up a cross. No, it's a massive thorn, if you like. It hasn't been easy, but that was God's will. I've had to learn and to adapt and seek fresh daily supplies of grace, as those of you who've been in a similar position or you've gone through a painful divorce or whatever, you need God's grace. But that's not I didn't choose. I didn't choose that pathway. But I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to take up the cross, even though it may cost me friendships. Even though it may cost me perhaps a job, maybe. It may cost me a job because I'm in the wrong job. I cannot please God in doing what I'm doing. I'm just losing my saltiness in that situation. Taking up the cross may mean I've got to give up on that particular dream because it was going to actually take me away from loving and serving Jesus. If you've got to die to that dream, he's going to give you another one. It's very practical, but this, in the areas like this, friends, is where you and I rub shoulders with other people. It is Christ at work within you and me, and that's glorious, that's powerful. And so we certainly need to have a biblical worldview, and over the months in our teaching, both with the children and young people and in the gathered fellowships, we'll be wanting to equip each one of us so that we will learn more and more how to handle the basic tools for being truly Christ followers and to have a Christian worldview, and at the same time be equipped with effective strategy for combating, critiquing the non-biblical worldviews and also the non-biblical views of Christianity, which we're being pestered with like never before today, but the word tells us that we will. What am I saying? We need, in however many days we've got left, whether they're few or many, we need to be able to demonstrate kingdom values which are in total contrast to the world's philosophy, the world's culture, and the world's systems, because we're full of Jesus. We love each other. We don't get it all right here, but what we do seek to do is to be faithful followers of Jesus and to have his word in a very high regard. And have an understanding of the days we're living in. We do. We're to be a prophetic people. For that, we need to understand that we are in the last days, and apostasy and the falling away and deception. The evil one is really having great influence within the professing church, but we need to stand against that And if Christ is with us, who can be against us? We're not on our own. You're not on your own. Sometimes, I've spoken about, you may be the only individual within your family or within your college group or in the office, wherever. And that can be sometimes lonely, but think of the influence you can have in Jesus. If you're surrounded by Christians, well, all you've got to do is argue with them. Yeah, this is your mission field, isn't it? This is your mission field. Christ is with you. You're not on your own. You're not an orphan. You have the Comforter himself. Amazing. Amazing. Praise be to Jesus. But we need to be able to critique and to articulate that this is truth, nothing but the truth, and that the evil one is out to deceive many into following a false Christ. You see, as I heard Tom Chacko say on the television Tuesday afternoon, he says, if you really know Jesus, you may want to know him more. You may realise, yeah, your own sin, your own inadequacy, and at times your barrenness and so on. But if you really are in a gospel church and you are in a relationship with brothers and sisters, warts and all, you won't want to fly off to this place, go to that conference to get more of something which is not of Jesus. You've got it now. Just seek the face of the Lord and he will fill you. Amen. What I and Alex and Mark and leaders, what we really do want in these days, in these weeks and that, is young people, middle-aged, elderly, whoever, if you've got questions, look, I'm faced with this issue, please help me. What is unique about it? How can I stand strong in the workplace? Look, a few weeks ago, Natalie shared with us on creation. She was able to articulate the truth of Christianity, of creation, as opposed to, you know, the Darwin and the evolution. And she was able to present a real powerful testimony. I want all of us, we don't need high IQs. All of us need to be able to defend faith and articulate the truth. That's what we want to be able to equip you. That can be done on a one-to-one at times. It can be done in group settings. It can be done on Sundays. Because darkness is increasing. Hey, you are people of light. We should not be intimidated, but realise our calling in Jesus.